Hallelujah. I didn't notice. That song worked out pretty good. Yes, it did. Prayer will change it. Whatever your it is. Prayer changes circumstances and situations. And when we get into that time of prayer, that's a time of getting the communications hooked up with the Father. So He wants to hear us, and He hears us by our prayers. So prayer is important. Prayer will change it. Yes, it will. It changes things. I'm going to give you a funny to start with. A young man went into a drugstore to buy 3 boxes of chocolate. Small, medium, and large. When the pharmacist asked him about the 3 boxes, he said, "Well, I'm going over to a new girlfriend's house for supper. Then we're going out. If she lets me hold her hand only, then I'll give her a small box. But if she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'll give her a medium-sized box. But if she really lets me smooch her seriously, I'll give her the big box." He joyfully then made his purchase and left. That evening, as he sat down at dinner with the new girlfriend's family, he asked if he could say the prayer before the meal. He began to pray, and he prayed an earnest, intense prayer that lasted almost 5 minutes. When he finished, his girlfriend said, "You never told me you were such a religious person." And he said, "And you never told me your dad was a pharmacist." Prayer can definitely change things, can it? See, prayer is not the least you can do. Prayer is always the most powerful thing that you can do. When you pray the Word of God, it is your WMD against the principalities of darkness. That is a weapon. Weapon of mass destruction there. Prayer, how much do you use it? How much do you believe it works? A little or a lot? That's why senior pastor loved when you were always down there. I can hear that now. Because that's the right answer. But are you one who does it at mealtime because it's tradition? Or are you one who has seen it actually move the hand of God on your behalf? You know, it's a sad thing how little people actually know about the power of what their prayers can do, and the words that they say in those prayers can accomplish. If a friend has been given a report of terminal cancer, what else could you do but pray? Prayer puts you in direct communication with God. Who is able to do anything and everything in the spiritual and the natural realm. What affects the natural realm is the supernatural. And especially if you're a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. And He's the only one that really can offer help to your friend when they're there. The doctors don't know what to do. If they did, there would be a cure. Think about that. There would already be a cure. Now, yes, there's chemo, right, and there's radiation, and there are other things that they can do. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have those things, that they can try. You hear what I said? Try. See, but unlike them, really not knowing what to do, as a believer, we should know that you have the advantage. You have the advantage over that doctor and over that report. You already know what to do. Pray. That's what you need to know. Pray. And who do you pray to? To him? He is the healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. His name is Jesus. He is a healing God. He's a loving God. So we need to pray. We need to believe what it can accomplish in our own lives and in the lives of others when we do it. The key to prayer? Do you believe it works? There's a key. Mark 11, we're going to read verse 24. New Living Translation. Remember, this is Jesus speaking, because it's in the red. But you can just listen to the words and know that it's him. I tell you, you can pray for anything. He said you can pray for anything. And, key thing, if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. You can pray for anything. Anything. Yeah. But it's colon cancer. Yeah, but it's breast cancer. Hey, it's lung cancer. Do you understand? It's stage 4 cancer. See, when we respond like that, I think we need to ask ourselves one question. Are we the ones doing the healing, or is it someone by the name of Jehovah Rapha? For those that are in this sanctuary, who've had a family member that's gone through battle with cancer, and might I say, who have the victory? Who have the victory, amen? Yeah. I'll say one thing for each and every one of them, because I know them, and I know those cases. They sought the healer. And there was a need for a healing, but they realized at that time that healing didn't come unless they could seek the healer himself. See, it wasn't about what they could do. It was about what was already done by Jesus. And may I quote one of them? He said, I'm not worried. The big guy got this. He sought the healer. Not the healing. He knew who would put all his confidence and all his trust in. As he reflected on the healer and went to the healer, he's healed today. He's cancer-free. Cancer-free. And it shall never come upon him a second time. That's what the Word says. And that's what he's standing on now. And that's what all of them are standing on, who have went through that battle. They've all been given by the doctor that says, you're cancer free. That's great. I thank you, Lord. And now you stand on that scripture that it shall not come upon you a second time. Stand on it. Because the word says that all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. That's in Matthew 19, verse 26. But see, they all believed the word. They believed what the word said. And they put their faith in the one who said the word, who spoke the word. Our Heavenly Father and His Son, these are their words. You're going to say, well, there's different writers here. Who inspired them to write those words? The book of Revelations. Who wrote the book? John. Who told him what to write? Who? That's it. There it was. God spoke directly to John. See, the Word of God says that it only takes what? A mustard-sized seed of faith. In fact, who is the Word? Jesus. Okay? And God gave them, each and every one of them, the faith. Yeah, that's the faith they needed to get through it. Now, did they need encouragement along the way? Yeah. And that's what our job is when someone's going through that. To encourage them and give them the word. Give them scriptures. And when they want to whine and cry, you let them. You got to let them. But we know by the ministering of our tongue, by the word of God to them, it will bring that encouragement. That they know that, wait a minute, God's there. God's with me. God will get me through this because they need to hear you. They need you to be there to be the encourager. Amen. And every time that they needed strength to go through it, to stand a little longer, they know who to go to. They went to Jesus. They went and asked for strength, and He strengthened them. When you think you're so weak that you can't do it any longer, you can't endure that pain any longer, go to Him. Go to Him. Now, you can go to your doctors and all them and do, but if they give you something, then you do it, and you do it in faith, and you take the whatever it is in the name of Jesus. The name above all names. There's healing in the name. In Isaiah 41, verse 10. So He will give us the strength we need. But the key thing is, you got to ask. Satan makes sure once you feel a little bit of pain, he pushes a little harder so that you won't be asking. All you want to do is go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And I've been there. Don't think I'm picking on you. I'm picking on me. I know what I went through. And when I would get and shake it off and get back to my right head, in fact, I wasn't getting back to my right head, but getting rid of the head and getting it out of the heart where it counts. Then I was able to go through it, to suck it up. But I did that on my own. I didn't need someone else to tell me that. You know how discouraging that can be? You don't want to say that to them. You want to encourage them. And you encourage them by the word. Okay, there, Isaiah 41, verse 10. New Living Translation. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. This is God speaking to you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Who's going to strengthen you? God is going to strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 121. And this is the Message Bible. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God. Where does your strength come from? Who made heaven and earth and the mountains. That's where your strength comes from. He created it all. I don't know. Sounds like he's pretty mighty, pretty strong. And he can strengthen you to whatever you're going through. Whether it be physically, emotionally, financially. You know, he can get you through it, folks. He'll strengthen you. So the correct answer when we are asked, do you believe in the power of prayer, should be not an assumption or an opinion, but a simple three-letter word. Are you ready? Y-E-S. What's that spell?
Yes.
That's it. Yes. There's power in prayer. Someone just recently got told that they had to have a hip replacement. And I said, well, do you want me to let people know? Or is that? She said, no, I want people to know that I got to go through that. Because I want all the prayer I can get. Sounds to me like that individual really believes in prayer. See, you may not know the complexity of the disease, but God does. And he doesn't need to be reminded how difficult the situation is. See, the thing is, it's not important anyways. Because there's nothing too hard or difficult for him to overcome. Nothing. You don't believe me? Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah 32. You know, looking at me like, okay, how can I believe that? Well, let's see what God has to say. 32, verse 27. I'll give it to you in the King James first, and then I'll do the Amplified. King James. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amplified. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Well, is there anything too difficult for the Creator? The Creator of the universe. Of how many galaxies, Dean? Yeah. We don't know what all he's created. But I do know this. He created each and every one of us in his likeness. He is our creator. Jesus bore 39 stripes. He took them on his back. So you think about that for a minute. And you think about what he finished at Calvary. And what he finished was healing for us. He provided healing. Literally, the beating he took was for our healing. The important part for all of us is to believe. Believe, it's a done deal. He provided the healing. He provided the healing. And when we go to Him, seeking Him, He will give you the healing you need. But you need to seek Him. And when you seek Him, the healing comes. Prayer. It is so important. Like I say, it has an effect. It will do what it sets out to do. So sometimes, when I say that, I caution because you got to watch what you pray for sometimes. But prayer. Here's a little story for you. And you can find these things just as easy as I can. I don't make them up. But anyhow, this is a legend or a story of a small town in which there were no liquor stores or nightclubs. Eventually, however, a nightclub was built right on Main Street. And one of the churches in the area was so disturbed that they conducted several all-night prayer meetings and asked the Lord to burn down the nightclub. Lightning struck the nightclub a short time later, and it was completely destroyed by the fire. The owner, knowing how the believers had prayed, he sued the church for the damages. His attorney claimed that their prayers had caused the lightning and fire. The church people, on the other hand, they hired a lawyer, and they contested the charges. At the opening of the trial, the judge made a statement. Whatever the outcome of this trial is, it's the opinion of this court that the owner of the nightclub is the one who really believes in the power of prayer, while the church members do not. Imagine that. Church people having a hard time believing that their prayers were answered so quickly, and even at all. You know, and they were so easily able to throw God under the bus for it. We had nothing to do with that. That was all His fault. Yeah. They disclaimed their responsibility and that their prayers had been answered. And here, someone in the world is amazed beyond belief by the power and sheer magnitude that prayer could have at all. And to boot, he sued for the damages done by it. What's the old saying? They want to have their cake and eat it too. Thing is, they asked God for cake. And then not only they wouldn't touch it, they wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't have nothing to do with it. So if you're going to ask God for cake, when God makes a cake, eat it. Right? Why ask for it if you're not willing to eat it? Prayer works. Even when you don't know what to pray sometimes, it works. Because you can pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray for, especially for you and for the others that are on your heart. And when He prays, it works. Because He prays through you. In fact, it even works better. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you don't miss God's amazing abilities at all. No, because the Holy Ghost is able to bring a really understanding to your spirit so that you can pray properly. See, you give him the free rein to do whatever it takes to bring not just about your desired outcome, but his will in the situation, which works everything to your good. It has to, because it's his will. You pray according to his will, and he hears you very plainly, very directly. So if you think about it for a second, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, who knows God's will better than the Holy Spirit to bring it forth through you? And when you're praying, you'll know that your prayer has been answered. You may pray today, you'll pray tomorrow, and you'll pray, and you'll pray. And then one day, you'll have this inward feeling that says, wow, I don't have to pray anymore. I don't have to pray anymore. Because when you take time to just focus in on him and just look to him, the healer, your miracle could happen. Can it not, Mrs. Colburn? Come on up here. I want you to share that. I want you to share that right now, because I think this is important. This happened on Wednesday. We were here for prayer night. A prayer night! Yeah! But we had Bob come over, and him and Rich worshiped and led us in praise with guitars. And they did an awesome job. And it ministered, but it brought the Spirit here. The Spirit was moving. And this had nothing to do with man. It had all to do about Jesus.
Amen. The thing that's so cool about Wednesday night was when Bob opened up, he said, you know, we're going to play some songs. I just want you to close your eyes and focus on the Lord. And whatever's bothering you, just give it to the Lord, or it's going to go away. Isn't that what you said, Bob? So I'm, you know, they played some beautiful songs. If you weren't here, you really missed it. There were some songs from the old church. Take Me Past the Outer Court, that's like the most awesome song. But anyway, so I just sat there and just listened to him singing, and it was beautiful, and then we went into prayer. Well, probably for about 5 or 6 weeks now, anybody that's talked to me personally, I had the most ungodly looking growth on this finger right here. I was right on my knuckle. I showed it to everybody. If you were any more near me, I showed it to you. I showed it to everybody at a dinner one day, and my brother almost threw up. He's like, okay. And I've been just, you know, talking about it and talking about it. So I went to the doctors. I guess it was the week before, and they took x-rays of it, and they told me it was a ganglion cyst. And I thought they were going to remove it right there. He goes, oh, no, we're not removing this right here. You have to, it has to have surgery. And I'm like, on my finger? He goes, oh, yeah. And he told me how they're going to do it. And I said, that's okay. I'm not having surgery on my finger. So then we just kind of left it at that. I left and went home. And I was sitting back here on Wednesday night, which is now about 10 days later. And after we were just getting ready to close in prayer, I always kind of mess with it. Like, you know, it's just one of them kind of things. It's like a sore thumb. You're just constantly bothers you. And I went to grab it, and I'm like, oh, I have the wrong finger because I didn't feel anything. And I looked down, and I'm like, no, that's my finger. It's totally gone. And it was there when I came here. I mean, it's not there no more. There was a little red dot there, and now that's even gone. And I'm like, I just kept looking at it and kept looking at it. And then after the service was dismissed, Angela saw it the day before. She was looking at it going, oh. Yeah. And I was out there. So I said, look, I said, it's gone. She goes, oh my gosh, you were healed. So I ran back in there and I told Pastor Jack and I told Bob and I told Rich. And his expression on his face was priceless. Yeah. I don't even know if he realized it or not. Rich is like, just like staring at my finger and staring at me, and it's just, and it's gone. And I know it, Jesus, he, just exactly what Bob said. Anything that's bothering you, and I can honestly say, I don't know if I ever really prayed about it, but it was just something that always, it's been bothering me, just bothering me big, and I just hated it. And it's just another one of those things in my in our lives. It's just a simple little thing, but it's gone. Amen.
Amen.
I know, but that's what happened on Wednesday. Don't miss Wednesday. If you can't help it.
Amen. Thank you, Sherry. I knew if I called you again that you would have said no. So, but there she was. She was in worship, worshiping God. And it was gone. It was gone. There are so many testimonies to God. We have some big ones. We have small ones. But there's still their testimony to the healer, to Jehovah Rapha. Shirley, Jan, I'm going to name you because you can ask them. Thursday morning prayer, a couple weeks ago. I had to go back because someone came to the office. I came back in, and they're up here praying still. And Trish says, they want you to anoint them because they have a ringing in their ear, and it is just really bad for them. I said, oh, okay. They wanted me to anoint them and pray for them. It would be my pleasure. Trish runs up, grabs the anointing oil, comes down. I open up the anointing oil. Put it on each one of their hands. As I didn't want to have nothing to do with this. It wasn't on me. And I told them, okay, now place your hands on your ears. And we prayed. They says, I says, we got done. I says, well, you got your healing? All three of them said yes. They said yes. We continued in prayer, did some other things. I went to go do something else. I look out, and walking and marching around the church is them and Teresa, my sister-in-law, they're praying, going around the church. And then they came in. So this is about an hour afterwards, right? And they're leaving, going down the hall. And Jan looks at Sherry and says, Sherry, is your ear ringing? Sherry said, no. She says, neither is mine. Shirley's standing behind me over here. And they looked over and said, Shirley, how about you? And she goes, I says, quit looking for it. You're healed. Is that not the truth, girls? But it had nothing to do with me. It had about their heart and receiving from him. Sounds pretty simple. But guess what? You get a ringing in your ear, it can really be annoying. Now, let's get back to our message here. Kyle, where are we at? we okay? We decent? All right. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can speak for you to God because he knows what's on your heart. He knows what needs to be accomplished. So with that, look to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See, because we don't want to limit the power of God, especially the Holy Spirit, because that's His Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays with you and for you, and God answers. With the Holy Spirit helping you pray, you can boldly go unafraid to Him. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to intercede in accordance with God's will. To intercede for you and to intercede for others. I have done that, not knowing what to pray sometimes. Knowing what to say, maybe natural in a few sentences, but not what really needed to be said. So that's when I turned to God and started praying, because I know that that situation needed some great intercession. So I went to the Spirit, and I started praying in the Spirit. And I prayed, and I prayed. And then I prayed some more, and I prayed. And it seemed like a blink of an eye. But 2 hours had gone by, and I felt the peace. A peace that, I'm going to tell you what, that surpasses all understanding? Yeah. That's what I had. And that prayer was answered. And I rejoice and I give God all the glory for that, because He taught me back then. So when you don't know what to pray, ask Him to pray. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. See, when you get born again, you get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. But you want the full power of the Holy Spirit, then you need the baptism of the Spirit. Don't be afraid of it. I don't know why people are afraid of it, why they resist it. That's your heavenly language. You can speak to Him through it and confidently know that you're making a great impact. A great impact. And sometimes it's hard to believe that it's just that easy to pray in the Spirit or to speak in tongues. Some people even doubt whether the Holy Spirit exists. Do you know that? I've talked to people. They believe in the Father and they believe in the Son. The Holy Ghost, well, you know, I hear they use that in church a lot. And they call Him the Holy Ghost. Well, I prefer the Holy Spirit, because I love that it's God's Spirit. Yeah. That's why it's three. The Trinity is three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one is individual, but yet they are one. Your mind just went, huh? See, that's a problem. Take it out of the mind. Put it in the heart. Yeah. Makes a difference in how you look at it. And I'm not trying to make it really like simplistic to you. But it is. Because God made it that way. See, we're the ones who make it hard. Because of our heads. We want to rationalize it. We want to really dissect it with our head. Quit trying to dissect it with your head. Just open your heart and receive it. So what are we supposed to do, Sherry? Simply believe. Believe that He can, and most of all, that He's willing to do it. Willing. See, the more we study the gospel, and we see exactly what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, especially when He introduced what? The grace message. Yes, He introduced the grace message to the world when He went to the cross. And we will find out He made it easy enough for a child to understand. And that's why He says, come to Him as a child. Come to Him as a child. How's a child come? When they come and they ask you something, and you tell them, yes, you'll get that. They don't have it in their hand, but they believe they have it. And guess what? The Father will deliver. Because you, being good, know how to give good gifts to yours. Believe me, he can do it. He can do it. Simply believe. The young synagogue's ruler, right? His daughter. Jesus went to him and said, "My daughter is at the point of death. Can you come and lay hands on her?" Jesus didn't hesitate. Yep. But on the way, he got detained with someone who had a need. There was a woman who had an issue of blood for too many years. If you really think about that, research that, ladies, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know how she did it. But she did that for all those years. But she knew if she went to Jesus and just would touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. Because she kept saying, "If I but touch the hem of his garment. If I but touch the hem of his garment." And she made her way through a crowd to touch him. And then he stops because he knew that the virtue went out of him. Healing power went out of him. Now, he could have just kept going on. But no, he needed to do that so that we could have something to learn from, something that can teach us, something that can reach to our hearts. So he's talking to her. She admits to what's going on. He says, "By your faith, you've been healed. Go your way." Meantime, he's talking to her and to all those that are listening. Somebody from the house of that young ruler come running up and says, "Sire, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter died." Jesus heard that. He hears everything. He hears everything. When you all are talking at one time, he hears each and every one of your voices individually. Yeah, he can. He turned to that young ruler and said, "Simply believe in me as able to do this." You notice in the Bible, he never said a word back. He just looked at Jesus, and they went on their way. Now, he had to keep his thought life under control. He had to not say anything to his people as he's walking there. He didn't have to say, "I don't know why we're going here. She's dead. She's dead. Why are we going this for?" He didn't say anything like that. He spoke no negativity. Not at all. He had no doubt or unbelief. He wouldn't let it come. And when Jesus got to the house, what did he do? He walked up, and there are these people there mourning, having a funeral service, basically. And he told them, "What are you doing? She's not dead, she's sleeping." They laughed at him. They mocked him. He said, "All of you, get out of here." Now, get out. That was Jesus speaking. All of a sudden, he doesn't say it. They left. Then he went up with the parents. And what did he say to the little girl? "Arise." Up she came. He said, "You better get her something to eat because she's hungry." But he simply believed. And God delivered on his belief because he believed in him. He believed in him. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he knew that he could do it. And God gave him the faith to believe in his son because he was looking for where he was going to get it from. And you get it from who you're believing in, who you're trusting in. Am I right, Kyle? What you speak and what you pray will come to pass. So believe in Jesus. So simple. Receive what God sent his son to deliver and trust in him and his ability to bring about what he has promised. Solomon. Remember him? He prayed And God gave him wisdom, made him the wisest man on earth. 1 Kings 3, 9 through 14, if you want to look it up. King Hezekiah prayed, and God gave him 15 more years. 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6. Elijah prayed. He prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. That's 1,095 days, folks. And guess what? It didn't rain. There wasn't a drop in the sky that came down. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And a confirmation is in James 5, 17. Jabez, he prayed for more territory. And what did God do? He said, okay, I'll give it to you. And he granted what he had asked for. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. But notice, what did they all have in common? Yeah, prayer. But not just prayer, they prayed. See the difference? They prayed. Done. Confidence. Faith. Faith in the healer. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Luke 18. Message Bible, though. This is about the unjust judge here. And it says Jesus. Jesus told them. Who is them? His disciples. What's a disciple? A disciplined follower of Jesus. What are you? Right. You are a disciplined follower. So when he speaks there, he's speaking to you. Jesus told us a story showing that it was necessary for us, or saying them, to pray consistently and never quit. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him. See, she was relentless. My rights are being violated. Protect me. Verse 4, he never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, she was relentless, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Verse 6, then the master said, do you hear what the judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent, resentless, right? Tongue getting talked there. No, relentless faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns. True faith is relentless. It never stops until it gets its desired results. How much of that kind of persistent, resentless faith will the Son of Man find when he comes to the earth? That is a good question, right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. These are great examples of faith. Message Bible, though. Verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. Verse 4. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and they couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. Verse 6, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. If we don't believe he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those that are seeking him, why even bother to pray? Right? How many of you know that it's one thing to see someone else pray and use their faith and watch a miracle happen for them? And then you rejoice. I mean, how many times have we heard someone else's story about their healing and how God healed them? But it's a totally different story when you're the one. Or if you're part of a group of people needing a miracle, and you're doing the praying and the expecting. A little different, isn't it? But in either scenario, God is the one who delivers on the results. Not the pastor. Not the elder going over the hands. God delivers the results. When we lay hands, it's not us. It's God working through us when we lay hands. Has nothing to do with me. That's why that morning, that was a rip to me. When they put their hands with that anointing oil, their point of contact was there. Had nothing to do with me. I was just a willing vessel to put forth the words. And that's all it was. They were believing, they were receiving, and they received. Simple as that. So why not believe him to write a chapter in a story of your life entitled Healing? That chapter will have every I dotted and every T crossed. I just know our God. And you should know our God too. There's, for him, nothing is left to chance. And that's why sometimes when it comes to us, it's not about chance, it's about choice. It's about a choice. Church, this is where it all starts. where you start to believe that it's all possible. Really, God writing a chapter in my life. Think about that for a minute. Am I right? Think about that. God writing a chapter in my life. Well, don't you think that he can do a better job of writing the chapter than the chapters you've already written? I know he can do a lot better than the ones I've written. So I'd rather read a chapter that he wrote any day than to suffer through the ones I've already written again. Because, see, my story started out when I told my wife, "You're going to heaven, I'm going to hell. Don't bother me. Don't be preaching this Jesus thing to me." That's what I told her. My chapter was Jack on his road to hell. That's how I started out. But because of prayer, because of someone who wasn't going to quit, true faith is relentless. It doesn't stop until it gets its desired results. And when you get to the point where you're praying and you want the story changed, somebody else can help it along to get the story back on track and improve in the chapters. And it's going to take quite a few chapters. With me, it took quite a few chapters. I hate to admit that, but it did. But when she finally said, "He's yours, Jesus. Ain't nothing I can do. I've done everything that I can do. And I've weathered myself to nothing." And I realize when I get to the point of nothing, you're everything. You can take care of it. And I know that my prayers you've heard. So I'll just read your scriptures and your word over him every day. Yeah, the guy that was on the road to hell is standing up here at this pulpit, called the pastor of Eloquipa Christian Assembly, standing before you. It's all about God. That's what it's all about. All about God and what prayer can do. Prayer changes things. It can change it. Whatever you're facing, prayer will change it. Because I know I don't want to go back and relive those old chapters again. They were painful enough the first time through. There was not a lot of joy in them. There were little bits and pieces. I mean, my greatest joys are my kids. My daughter Leanne. Crystal. Now I have a son-in-law, Joe. I have two grandchildren, Gwen and Jack. I'm so thankful that my life got turned around so that I could enjoy with them and enjoy a relationship with Christ and my family. Because that's who is the center of our family, Christ. But see, the devil's going to come and he's going to try to get you to not believe that your prayers have ever been answered. He wants to make you feel like the words that came out of your mouth didn't get past the end of your lips. Or that you were praying and the prayers went up and they hit that tile and they went ploop because they couldn't get out. Or he even wants you to believe that God doesn't hear you. Yeah, he tries to get you that you do not hear. Cal, I can't stop there. Even though you said zero, I can't stop there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, New King James. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." We are the righteous. and his ears are open to their prayers. His ears are open to your prayers. He hears you. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the prayer requests that we desired of him. Psalm 91, verse 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. You call upon him in prayer and he will answer you. Because you make that script, make that personal. It says, you can say, I will call upon him and he will answer me. But then it goes on to say that he will be with you in trouble. He will deliver you and he will honor you. He will honor you. It's Psalm 118, verse 21. New Living Translation. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. Yeah, he answers prayer. You have the victory. You have victory through Jesus. It's victory through Jesus. He hears everyone's prayers. Saints and sinners alike. Really? Yes, really. He heard us when we prayed the sinner's prayer. And then he forgave all of our sins. Past, present, and future. John chapter 11, verses 41 through 42, Message Bible. Then to the others. Now this is where he raises Lazarus. Go ahead and take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed. Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Jesus wanted them to know that nothing is too hard for God and that prayer changes things. God hears you when you call out to him, expecting. And I'll skip all these next ones. Okay. I recently read about a pastor. And this is what he said in there. And I kind of liked it. And I wanted to share it. He said, when it comes to praying, use the push method. Christy, can we give him the push method? Amazing. What's the push method say? Pray till something happens. I think that's some great advice, don't you? See, because he's still on the throne.
That's right.
And he still wants to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you so that he can give you the miracles that you have been looking for. Especially when you ask him. But the key is, you got to ask. See, the prayers of every righteous man and woman avails much. Make prayer and seeking God's help in every situation first place in your life. Make it your first resort every time instead of your last resort. And we'll stop there. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. I know that I went long.